chanting the sutra, we got to the unsurpassed, complete, perfect enlightenment. And I thought, oh, that's our subject, and got totally lost in the re-chanting. Didn't know where I was. It's a very good practice to do that chanting, because you have to be right there. But it is our subject, so I think that's kind of cool. We are on number 9, I think. When a person attains realization, Dogen, in most of his work, as I think I said before, somebody pointed out that he usually starts out in a very abstract way. The Buddha is this, and the Buddha is that. And then gradually comes closer and closer to a more poetical expression. And that's what's happened in this work. He starts out with that whole little thing about when all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, there is delusion, realization, practice, life and death, Buddhas and living beings. That's a mouthful, and it's a great big idea. And then he goes on, he talks about the 10,000 dharmas are without self, then there is no delusion, no realization, no Buddhas, no living beings, no birth, no death. And then instead of being satisfied with that, he goes on to complete it by bringing them both together, saying, since the Buddha way by nature goes beyond the dichotomy of abundance and deficiency, there is arising and perishing, delusion and realization, living beings and Buddhas. In other words, there's both sides, always. There's never one side, although we often would like to think so. So, this is how number 9 goes. When a person attains realization, it is like the moon's reflection in water. The moon never becomes wet. The water is never disturbed. Although the moon is a vast and great light, it is reflected in a drop of water. The whole moon and even the whole sky are reflected in a drop of dew on a blade of grass. Realization does not destroy the person, as the moon does not make a hole in the water. The person does not obstruct realization, as a drop of dew does not obstruct the moon in the sky. The depth is the same as the height. To investigate the significance of the length and brevity of time, we should consider whether the water is great or small, and understand the size of the moon in the sky. This is a very, very ancient symbol, of course. I'm sure every kind of human being from the very beginning is related to the moon in many different ways. And certainly in Buddhism, it's a very big subject. Dogen himself wrote a whole fascicle in Shobo Genzo called The Moon, which is very interesting and furthers this discussion. So, it can be a lot of different things. Even in this little discussion, it can stand for enlightenment. When a person attains realization, it's like the moon's reflection in the water. Well, that's enlightenment realization, or satori. The moon never becomes wet, the water's never disturbed. Its vast, great light is reflected in a drop of water. When I first read this years and years ago, I was so touched. I thought, oh, even a little completely useless piece of water gets a little teeny bit of the reflection of the moon. How wonderful, how wonderful. And it's the same as the same image wherever it is and whatever it's in, where it's a pool of oil or the ocean or a two moon pond up at Chikoji, it's still the same moon. So it's a very beautiful image that way. And it's talking about how nice it is that satori, or enlightenment, isn't something that's going to hurt us, or isn't some massive transformation. That the satori, the realization he's talking about here, is the third step in those three that Dogen started out talking about. There's the absolute side, the side where all is one, or all is wisdom, and it permeates everything. And there's the side where it's just ordinary, everybody splashed with mud and soaked in water, as Dogen says somewhere. It's just our ordinary lives, which aren't so fancy or so wonderful. However, the third stage is to understand that that's not two things. And we don't know how to say this, so we say moon, or we say prajna, or we say form is emptiness and emptiness is form, or we say mind is no hindrance. Without any hindrance, no fears exist. It's a way of talking about what it is to be alive on the earth. And in Zazen, our practice of Zazen, this feeling of the reality of the hard lumps that our life in the world is, that our ordinary life, falls off in a way. As we become connected with the whole dynamic of everything, we begin to see that what's happening in our mind, the thoughts that are pouring through us, are just thoughts. And the identity that we create for ourselves is just a temporary and provisional thing that's changing just even as we're sitting there. We watch it change. So that as we sit, we lose the sense of a solid self and become much more engaged in the whole dynamic of everything going on. This season right now, starting about now, is the time of Shakyamuni Buddha's enlightenment. In Zen, it's celebrated on the 8th of December. And usually there's a 7-day sesshin before a 7-day retreat, which is considered and taken very seriously in a lot of sanghas as sort of the ultimate sesshin. When we were sitting with Koban in the early years, people would stay up all night on the last night trying to get enlightened. But that isn't the point. Dogen said, and the truth is that as we sit, the sitting itself is Buddha itself. It's Buddha activity. It's being Buddha. So we don't have to try to get somewhere with it or be something with it. We're already there, here. Of course, we can think there's more and try to get more, and that's called delusion. Talk about the absolute as being the ocean, and our ignorance is creating waves in the ocean. We don't know and think we do. There's a lot of disturbance and agitation in our life. But the truth is, Dharmakaya, the body of Buddha, is already how it is. And this whole Genjo Koan that Dogen is talking about is aiming to explain to us or encourage us to see that things as they are what it is, are what we're looking for. Years ago, I had a friend who suddenly married a girl who didn't know anything about Zen, and he was already a priest, a Zen priest. And so she said to him, "Now I need to learn how to sit." And she said, "Now I'll sit here, and you sit right behind me, and you watch me. And if it looks like I'm getting enlightened, you make me stop." She said, "Don't let me get enlightened, whatever you do." So that's one of the many funny ideas that we can have about it. But in actuality, there are many, many different experiences that happen to us in Zazen, that happen to us in our life. From childhood, I'm sure all of us have many experiences that you could point to that were little enlightenments. But if we try to aim to get an enlightenment of any kind at all, it just is totally gets in the way of it. It doesn't work. It just creates a big block, a big wall. So the joyful thing is that if we are able to just sit, is really hard, but just to trust this whole situation as it is, then everything is available. It doesn't matter whether we have an enlightenment or not. That isn't it. Hakuin Senji said he who had tortured his life for years trying to get enlightened, and went a little crazy, actually, said many years later that everybody, if they practice, will have one or two really big enlightenments, a big breakthrough or a see-through, and many, many, many little ones. And he said the point of practice is just to keep sitting, whatever happens, and not hold on to any of it. If you try to keep it, then you're not alive anymore. You're living in the past. And the whole point of this is to keep on being alive moment after moment and not getting stuck somewhere. So this is what Okamura Sensei says about this. If our practice is genuine, we cannot view ourselves as subjects who practice to attain some desirable object, such as Satori. When Dogen uses the word Satori, he's not speaking of a particular psychological experience that we need only experience once. He's rather referring to our acceptance of a very ordinary reality. That we are self-centered, limited, temporary beings, and we live within the vast, boundless network of interdependent origination that is beyond discrimination. To awaken to reality, therefore, means that we see that reality awakens to reality, and reality actualizes reality. We see that even though the vast moonlight is reflected in our practice, we remain tiny drops of dew as individual persons. The vastness of the moon does not overwhelm the dewdrop of our lives, and the limits of our lives do not prevent the moonlight from reflecting in our practice. This is really good news. So we must awaken to the vast and eternal moonlight of the Buddha's wisdom and compassion. Waking up over and over, because we drift off and then wake up again. Often we're driven to wake up when something happens to remind us that we're just a little dewdrop and not a great big something, that we're not so much in charge as we think we are, and that in many ways we are truly helpless. And then we awaken and realize we're a part of the whole thing, however it is, however it turns out. So that's number 9, and there's time for questions, discussion. Wendy?
Where does the joy come from in seeing that everything's temporary and interconnected?
It's freedom. Freedom from our obsessions, freedom from our responsibility, in a way.
Our responsibility to what?
To judge everything as we live it. to discriminate everything as we live it, choosing this and that, wanting this and that, hating this and that.
Well, you still have to decide how to act.
Oh, yes, it's all about action. It's all about activity. But it's giving another way of relating without being... it's not that we don't discriminate. Of course we do. We tell the difference between the red light and the green light. But so much of what we do is based on liking and disliking the things that augment or subtract from our sense of ourself. And if the self becomes more transparent and more liberated, then it's a very much more happy situation.
Yeah, because I feel that sometimes, but other times I feel like I'm letting a lot of pain and suffering in too, and
yeah,
I feel confused about how to act.
Well, that's why Dogen said, sometimes Buddha, sometimes ordinary being. No, you can't separate them. So it's not saying that we don't hurt, because we do. We hurt because we care. But our caring is kind of an essential part of the practice, and how we are with how we care becomes the bodhisattva vow, how to be with everything. And it's not easy.
Right. So, just accepting that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's joy.
Yes. We don't talk about enlightenment very much in Zen, and it's a good thing, I think. I don't think we need to. Koban almost never talked about it, because it just brings up this big sort of golden image that the unsurpassed, complete, perfect enlightenment just sounds so fantastic. But if you think about the Heart Sutra, that it's just depending on prajna, depending on the moon, you could say. I would think that you could say that prajna and moon are the same, of wisdom, sort of eternal wisdom or eternal truth. That kind of dependence, I mean, not that the mind doesn't do all its funny tricks, because it does, but that there, we can not be driven by what the mind is doing. That we can be free from the mind while the mind is happening. Or realized by realization, is that what he said? Realization realizes itself. That there's one more step. Step back. So that we're not projecting our life into subject and object. But letting our thoughts be what they want to be. And therefore, no fears exist, says the Heart Sutra. Because our fears all come from our thoughts about the future and the past. What's going to happen next? And of course, we don't know. But there's a kind of hubris in wanting to know and trying to organize and arrange everything the way, making it all come out in our favor in some way. And that often doesn't work. And that's upsetting and creates more pain. So the trick is to be interested in how it is. To have a deep curiosity about how things really are. Rather than living so much in the ideas that keep passing through us. And especially our sense of ourself as bigger than a dewdrop.
I missed last week, and I was really looking forward to being here. I had Devon's surgery, and the reason I wanted to be here was it was Thanksgiving week, and I take my Thanksgivings very seriously, and I wanted to thank all of you for making me a part of this sangha and allowing these Tuesday evenings to occur in my life. So this little dewdrop sitting in this chair is wanting to thank all of you very much for allowing me to come here and sit with you, and how much joy I have been getting from coming here on Tuesday evenings and practicing with you. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. You add greatly to this little group.
Oh, thank you very much.
Jeffrey, I was thinking about you today because of the dahlias and how you told me you know, even when it started getting cold, they were holding on and they were just flowering. And
they had really bit the dust.
Wow.
I was listening. One of your quotes coming in, it's the one about the list for the architect. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you said is the winter agenda for things, you know, the trees need to be bare. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, that's what my garden is all of a sudden starting to look like.
Yeah.
The seasons have arrived, and with it, the dahlias are no longer with it. Yeah, I pruned them this past week.
They'll be back.
Yes, they will.
And I think that makes this one even more precious.
Excuse me?
I think that makes this one even more precious. and I couldn't stop looking at it. I can't stop looking at it.
It's not a diamond.
Oh, it's something else.
No,
it's beautiful.
It is lovely. It was a gift for Thanksgiving, and somebody came to my house, so I thought I would re-gift it. Bring it tonight.
Great. Well, we're going to have our own Rohatsu Sesshin, our own enlightenment Sesshin, for one day on Saturday from 9 to 4. And although it's best to come for the whole thing, you're certainly welcome to come for any little part of it that you have time for. It's going to be a rainy day. Oh, is it week after next? Yes, thank you. It's the 11th. Yeah.
You know the weather that far today?
No, actually, it's this Saturday that it's going to rain. It'll probably rain that Saturday, too, at the rate things are going. But I encourage you to try to plan around that so that you can come. And we'll have Doksan for anybody who's interested in that, too. So keep it in mind.